Hello, everyone, and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews, your nerd podcast, where we discuss the old and new in nerd movies. Explicit content warning: material on this podcast may not be suitable for listeners of all ages. And a spoiler warning: this podcast is fully spoiled with all the details and nitty-gritty from the movies we will be discussing. So you have been warned. How's it going, everybody? I'm joined today with Daniel. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, right? There's a lot of movies that we have yet to talk about on Nerdy Boys Reviews, but that's okay, because there's only one movie that really matters, and that's Avengers Endgame, which just came out on Thursday, which we saw twice, which we need to talk about. So that's what we're going to be talking about, of course. And this, obviously, like I said in the intro, it's going to be full of spoilers. I'll do a little spoiler-free review for you right now. It's excellent. Go see it. That's all you're getting for spoiler-free. You got anything to add?
Yes.
Okay.
I concur 100%. This is the best thing Marvel put out and will put out for the foreseeable future.
That's good to know. So here's what I'll say first, right? I think that part of the genius of this movie is, like, honestly, you don't have to see all the other movies. You only have to really see Infinity War. But I will say this. You will not enjoy it nearly as much as everyone else who has seen every other movie. But you can go see it, and it kind of stands on its own. You know, it's kind of self-informed by the plot to tell you everything that's going on and everything that kind of has gone on, right? But if you haven't seen all the movies, don't be like the annoying mother sitting next to me asking her fucking son who everybody was every 3 seconds. It's okay if you haven't seen them and you want to take your kids to go see the movie, but shut the fuck up, because why are you all of a sudden interested? Don't do that. Don't do that.
Also, don't bring your annoying-ass 3-year-old to the movie that can't comprehend what the fuck's going on screen, and then you have the child keep screaming and crying all throughout the goddamn movie.
Oh, yeah, there was a screaming child. I seem to remember that. But we saw the movie twice. We saw it Thursday night, premiere night. Me, Daniel, my sister, and my friend Matt. Hi, Matt, if you're listening. Thanks for coming. We saw that in regular 2D standard, whatever. And then again, we saw it Friday in the afternoon, just me and Daniel, in IMAX. I'll say this. IMAX is the screen is more clear, I think.
When they're playing the right film.
Right. The screen is more clear, and it's obviously bigger. The biggest issue isn't that they started with the 3D version of the previews. The biggest issue is that the seats don't fucking recline, guys. We're not going back to fucking 5 years ago when we had shitty seats that don't recline. We need good seats. We've become accustomed to this. You can't just take it away from us. Like, it's not a good trade-off. If you're paying $20 a ticket, you need to have good fucking seats. I don't care that the screen is bigger. I'll pay for 2D all day, every day, for better seats. So,
yeah, I can't tell you how frustrating it was when I went to go hit the button to recline my scene. There was no button.
Where the fuck is the button? some outside the movie stuff as well. I mean, obviously, Avengers Endgame made history, biggest preview night, biggest Friday night, biggest opening weekend of all time.
1.2 billion globally.
Yeah, 1.2 billion right now globally. 350 million world or in United States this weekend.
Captain Marvel who?
Yeah, anyway, that's the other great thing about this movie. No one came in with agendas like they did with Captain Marvel. But here's the thing I'll also say. If you guys haven't seen this movie yet, obviously stop listening to the podcast, but listen to this next part. If you haven't seen this movie yet because you didn't want to see Captain Marvel and you think you have to see Captain Marvel to see this, you absolutely don't.
She might be in the whole total movie.
Yeah, and you don't need any of what we learn in Captain Marvel to inform anything about this movie, like, at all. Because they even ask her in the movie, like, where have you been, kind of blah, 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 whatever. So, like, it's all irrelevant. The post-credits scene in Captain Marvel was just a random scene that they shot. It's not in this movie. Remember when she showed up because the Fury's pager or whatever? You don't need that. It's not in this movie. It's all informed within this movie, just like everything else. You don't have to see Thor: The Dark World, even though the Aether or the power, the Reality Stone, whatever, might play a role in this movie. You don't have to see Thor: The Dark World to understand any of that. Like, it's all informed within this movie, just like everything else. And that's what I think really is one of the brilliant things. Like, obviously, you should probably see Infinity War to understand what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Infinity War, then you've been living under a fucking rock.
If you haven't seen Infinity War, you need to sort your fucking life out. Like, what is wrong with you? No, not really.
Now, if you haven't seen Captain Marvel, you're doing yourself some favors.
I mean, we're not here to talk about Captain Marvel, are we? No. Do you want to talk about Captain Marvel? No. We can talk about Captain Marvel.
No.
Okay.
I will say one last thing on Captain Marvel. Those for, like, me who weren't a big fan, there was a very good scene in the movie that brought a smile to my face regarding Captain Marvel getting owned.
Getting owned, huh?
Getting owned.
Okay. Well, that's good to know that you enjoyed a scene of Captain Marvel getting owned. What about the scenes where she was owning people, though?
Overpowered.
Okay, well, let's just start. Let's just start getting into the movie. Talk about some of the things you really enjoyed.
Scarlet Witch is probably I don't know. There's a lot of things in this movie. In fact, I would say everything in this movie I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing that brought a smile to my face is when Scarlet Witch actually showed up and actually took on Thanos.
Yeah. That's huge.
I was like, holy shit. I remember looking over at you and saying that she's on a whole nother level of being
pissed.
We
just need more of her, is the thing.
I agree. And the funny thing is, she would have actually single-handedly won if he hadn't had help from his ships.
Yeah, we get so many, cameos in this movie, etc. Like, brilliant things that we've been waiting to see, brilliant payoffs from other movies. Like I said, you don't have to see those other movies, but if you haven't, you won't get as much out of this movie as everyone who has seen them.
Another thing I really liked about this movie, and it sounds like I love Thanos in Infinity War, but in this one, he seems more
more pure. Because we get pure Thanos. We don't get Thanos with the gauntlet and the stones and everything.
But
most of it is just him and his power.
And to be honest, even without the gauntlets, he was still handing ass whoopings out to Captain America
I think that's the important thing, that going back to Infinity War, we saw him take on Hulk without using the stones.
Yes.
Right? And that's how you know this guy means business even without them. This movie they just take that to another level where, he's taking on Thor, Captain America, and Iron Man all at once with no stones.
Now, to be fair, though, another part I really enjoyed was the one-on-one battle between Captain and Thanos.
Yeah, that was really good. And I'm sure if you guys haven't seen the movie and you're still listening, which you shouldn't be, you might be wondering, how did Captain America take on Thanos without any help?
He got the hammer.
Yeah, he's worthy. He has Mjolnir. And if you're wondering, how did he get Mjolnir? It was destroyed in Thor Ragnarok. You should still stop fucking listening, because you need to see this movie to understand what's going on.
He also got the axe, and then Thor was like, "Nah, you get the smaller one."
Yeah, I don't know if it's more important really here to talk about the plot elements, the story, whatever, or just character by character. Because, if you've seen the movie, you understand the story, really. I mean, they're trying to save, or trying to, okay, here's what, I think this is where everybody kind of got it right and kind of got it wrong. A lot of people predicted they used the quantum realm. A lot of people predicted that, right?
I was the first.
Which is true. Shut up. But I don't know if people thought that they were going to do it how they did it. I think people probably assumed they're going to go right before the finger snap and try to stop them there.
I'll admit it. That's what I thought. I didn't think they would, they go back to each specific point in the previous films to where the stone was. I knew, for instance, when Clint and Black Widow went to, was it
Vormir?
I was like, uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, we knew that.
First thought when I
But my first thought was, psh, bye-bye, Hawkeye.
That's exactly what I said.
But no, they have to mess with us even more, right? The other thing, you kind of see it coming into it a little bit. Thanos is going to die quickly in this movie.
Actually, I thought the climatic scene actually was probably a good 45 minutes of the last part of the movie. He didn't die right away,
Right. No, but in the beginning. So this movie is kind of it's almost four acts. So the first act is just a prologue, right? Mm-hmm. Where Hawkeye's family disappears and Captain Marvel shows up.
Which was kind of a nice touch, to be honest.
Yeah, Iron Man gets saved. And the first act ends with Thor killing Thanos. And then we go into our second act of them just
kind of dealing with that.
Yeah,
fallout.
Dealing with the fallout, and then up until the plan. We're done with the plan. The third act starts when they all go into the quantum realm, it ends when they come back with the stones, and then the fourth act is just the fucking epic conclusion of the movie.
And honestly, the last act is probably my favorite part. Like, watching all the shit go down on screen is just fucking,
yeah,
holy shit. Like, that's probably my favorite scene where, like, Thanos had brought his army out, and Captain's standing there by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see the shit open up in the background, and then you're like, oh.
Well, I mean, again,
shit.
It's callback after callback after callback. You know, it's like, you know, Sam's in his ear on your left, back from Winter Soldier. Hey, we're coming into battle, you know. Even like, you know, it's really sad to talk about, right? It's sad that, you know, someone had to die in this movie.
I mean,
two people. But, you know, you guys obviously, if you haven't seen it, fucking stop listening.
Technically, it's more than two because some people.
Right. But Iron Man, Tony Stark meets his inevitable demise.
In the best way possible.
It's very sad, not necessarily just because he dies, but it's sad because, you know, Peter Parker. Tom Holland is amazing. And then we get the callback from in this movie with Pepper Potts saying, "Now you can rest," which is, you know, a callback to when.
I'm with you on the Gwyneth Paltrow thing, but I really liked her as Pepper Potts.
No, I like her as Pepper Potts. I just don't like Gwyneth Paltrow.
But she was, I love seeing her in her Iron Man suit. And she actually,
yeah,
got down.
Yeah, that was really cool.
And then, I'm going to bring him up. But at first, I was like, what the fuck's going on with the A-Force?
Yeah.
But then, the second time watching, I was like, holy shit, they're all badass.
Yeah, if you guys aren't familiar with comics, there's a comic called A-Force, which is just a bunch of superhero women fighting together. And that's, we got a scene with just all the women, coming together. It was really cool.
Two of my favorite, though, were in that, which were Scarlet Witch,
yeah,
and Valkyrie.
Yeah.
I was so happy she was,
yeah,
back, though, because, personally, I love the...
Well, and Janet, not Janet, is it Janet? No.
Who?
Wasp. Janet, right? Janet Van Dyne?
I know.
Hope. It's Hope. Hope. Janet's the mom.
But
sorry.
I was happy she was back too. Like, her, seeing her and Scott Lang, kind of get back together and then, working on it was good.
Yeah, all you people who were actually serious about the Ant-Man going up Thanos' ass shit... You guys pissed me off because everybody knew that was going to happen. That's a ridiculous theory, and it's not really even that funny. Like, it's baseline funny, but, you start thinking about it, and you're like, well, they'd never do that, one, and two, it's stupid.
But, because I remember watching, Infinity War, and at the end of Infinity War, Scarlet Witch is fighting off Thanos.
Yeah, with one hand.
With one hand.
And trying to destroy the stone in the other hand.
And I remember thinking, when I first saw that, I was like, I wonder what would happen if she had her full attention on Thanos.
Yeah.
Well, we see what happens when she has her full, when he has her full attention.
Yeah.
And, even to what Captain Marvel did, to me, Scarlet Witch took it to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
She really shows just how, what
she's insanely powerful.
She literally lifts Thanos up with her fucking hands.
She would have ripped him limb from limb if they hadn't started firing.
Oh, yes. And so. The other thing I really liked was Fat Thor.
Yeah, I know you like that. But I, going back to what I was saying about the callback, you get a scene at the very end of the movie with Happy Hogan, played by Jon Favreau, and Morgan, who's Iron Man's daughter.
I love you 3000.
Well, that too, yeah. But we get the callback where he says, are you hungry? He says, what do you want? She says, cheeseburgers. And Happy says, oh, your father liked cheeseburgers, right?
Did he like cheeseburgers?
Yeah, Iron Man 1. The first thing he does when he gets back from the Middle East, they he says, I need to change operations or whatever. And then he says, but first, cheeseburger. It's a callback to Iron Man 1.
Oh, that reminds me. The kids standing in the back at the funeral, it shows all of them.
Uh-huh.
Who the fuck is that kid?
Yeah.
It's a little kid. He's all grown up now, but it's the kid from Iron Man 3.
Yeah. I didn't like that movie. But I need to watch it again. I need to watch it again.
To be fair, 99% of the fan base didn't
like
that movie.
Maybe, yeah. It wasn't well thought of. But you don't have to. Good thing for you. You don't have to see Iron Man 3 to see this movie.
Praise
because
the
here's the thing, right, about Iron Man 3 is this is where they set up Pepper as a future Iron Man, Iron Woman, right? And then immediately they crush it. They're like, nah, that's not going to happen. Oh. And in this movie, it pays off. But you don't need to see that to understand that because it doesn't really pay off because they... squashed your dreams in that movie of it happening.
But she whooped some serious ass in this movie.
Yeah.
But I won't lie, when the scene comes across with her and Tony, when Tony's dying, you better bring some Kleenex, because I almost teared up myself.
I teared up many, many times in this movie. The first is I didn't tear up with Clint's family disappearing. I mean, it's sad, but...
It's hella sad.
It's sadder when Tony's recording the message to Pepper. You know, because I don't know, it's sadder for me because I'm like thinking of like my girlfriend, you know, I'm thinking about like if I had to say goodbye to her and shit, you know.
I was doing the same thing about my right hand because that's about as close as a girlfriend I'm gonna get. But my point is, like, it's like if you think about it, it's kind of foreshadowing at that point a little bit too of what's to come later in the movie.
Well, and the character growth as well, not just for Tony, not like it's amazing to see from Iron Man 1 to where he is now.
How
like,
much of an asshole he started out to be.
Hey, he's still an asshole to be fair, but
I thought in this one he makes the ultimate sacrifice. Like he puts everything.
Yeah.
He puts his ego and shit. I think the moment I realized he kind of put his ego aside is when he met his father when.
Well, even Avengers set up for that because, you know, we had Captain America in that movie saying, you're not the type to make the sacrifice or whatever, you know?
You're right.
And he did in that movie, you know, he brought the bomb through the hole or whatever into space and, you know, was lucky to survive that. But again, you know, that destroyed his psyche. That's why we get Iron Man 3 where he's like, you know, giving up and all this shit, you know? So it's really interesting. But you kind of grow to expect that, you know. And, there's this scene, this flashback where he's talking to his dad, who obviously doesn't know he's talking to Tony, his son, because his son isn't born yet in this past timeline thing, whatever. And his dad says, you know, like, I don't want my kid to turn out like me. And he's like, well, what's so bad about that? And he's like, well, I very rarely ever put anyone else's needs over my own self-interest. You know, or the greater good over my own self-interest.
The ironic part was he ended up just like his father until the very end of that movie when he put his own self-interest to the side and did what was greater for everybody. And I think that's the one thing that stood out is when Tony looks over at Doctor Strange and he's just got the one finger telling him this is the one shot.
Which again, Benedict Cumberbatch had nothing to do in this movie. All he did was like, and he did it brilliantly. To be fair, like for such a small role, even for a lot of these characters, for Elizabeth Olsen, for Benedict Cumberbatch, for Tom Holland, they have very little to do, but they do it amazingly. They could have just phoned it in pretty much and whatever.
Like, everyone was cheering when Black Panther came up. I was just. Give it
again, Chadwick Boseman had very little to do, but he's such an amazing actor too. Like
my favorite part in watching this is when Spider-Man came back and like he got the biggest ovation out of everybody.
He should get the biggest ovation. He's Spider-Man. Like,
I was disappointed Guardians didn't get no love though. Like
here's the thing, right? What I'm saying is, I paid attention to it the second time around. Doctor Strange literally had one line. He had one line.
Was that when he tells Tony?
Yeah,
that he can't
where
tell
he
him?
Says, "Yeah, if I tell you that, then it won't happen." Pretty much, right? That's his only line. And then all he does was do some hand waving shit and put his finger in the air, right? Like that's it. And like T'Challa, Black Panther, he says like he has like two or three lines, but you know when he first shows up and then when he gets the gauntlet while they're running and shit, you know. But this movie is not about them.
No, it's more about the core Avengers.
This is truly the story of the culmination of obviously all the years of movies.
But this is
Iron Man and Captain America
Black Widow.
Black Widow especially as well. But it is of our original Avengers, but mostly it's Captain America and Iron Man. It's their ending. Because this isn't really the end for Thor. This isn't really the end for Hulk, right?
In fact, I think they're talking about... I think Chris Hemsworth's coming back for some more Thor.
Yeah,
so.
Maybe in Guardians 3. Who knows? You know, the Asgardians of the Galaxy.
Oh God!
But again, I read these comments and people were complaining about Thor and saying like they ruined Thor and this isn't Thor from the comics. I'm like, which comics? Because I understand like there are comics where Thor is just this really badass fucking beat the shit out of people guy, awesome Norse god. But there are a lot of comics where Thor is just a bumbling idiot who gets drunk all the fucking time and does nothing. Like, these comics are out there, so, like, people say, you know, it's not... There's no definitive run, necessarily, on every character. And I understand what you're saying, because most characters have a core, a heart. But Thor's core and heart, it is... What did he do in this movie?
He was broken.
Yeah, but what else did he do? He came back, he wielded Mjolnir and Stormbreaker and fought Thanos. Like,
while still being morbidly obese.
Exactly. So, like, it's not like they destroyed Thor. Like, because people are like, he's the most powerful Avenger and this and this and this and this.
Let's be honest, though. He did get his ass kicked by Thanos quite a bit. Like,
right. Honestly, but so did Tony and Steve.
Steve actually held his own, though, a little bit.
When he had Mjolnir, he did. Before that, he was just getting thrown around like a fucking rock. like a pebble. Like, he's getting flicked off like a flea. Like, he couldn't hit Thanos for shit. So.
Tony got knocked out of that fight pretty early, though, too. Like.
Right. Yeah, so the fight obviously is massive. We'll talk about that more, but one of the biggest, not the biggest things, but it's almost like the directors read your mind, right? Because, like, as soon as they were like, okay, we know how we're going to do it, right? And then I'm like, yeah, but, like, or no, like, it's like, you don't really understand the plan, right? But as soon as you don't understand the plan, they're like, all right, this is exactly how we're going to do it, right? We're going to find the stones in the past before Thanos gets them, right? Which is the brilliant part, because I think everybody thought, oh, they'll just go back before the finger snap or whatever, because they were so close so many times to stopping him. You know, like they
like when they had the gauntlet almost off and then Peter Quill smacked the shit out of him. And
there's that. There's when Scarlet Witch would destroyed the Mind Stone. Like there's a lot of opportunities for them to stop him. So you think, oh, we'll go back to that. The brilliant part is they didn't, because the directors probably thought, does anybody really want to experience Infinity War again? Like, you know, you can go watch Infinity War whenever you want, but changing minor details isn't going to do much, right? And we have to change the world now, because I'm thinking, right, when they're talking about it, I'm like, oh shit, they're going to go back, they're going to stop Thanos when before he snaps, and Iron Man isn't going to have his daughter. They're going to be 5 years in the past or whatever, right? So this is the only way they could do it.
Yeah, I was kind of worried about that before. What Tony said, that what he say that he wants to help the others, but he doesn't want to lose what he's had in the last 5 years.
He wants to bring everyone back, but he can't lose what he has now.
Yeah.
So he wants to bring them back to 5 years in the future, because there's a big time jump in this movie, which there has to be.
Oh, yeah. Even Cassie Lang, she's
yeah, like, that's a big setup for the next Ant-Man movie.
No, it is not.
It is.
It is not.
Yeah, but time travel, everybody knows, is confusing as shit. And they even confuse you more in this movie by saying, you know, what you want to say the line, the Ant-Man line?
Oh, Back to the Future was total bullshit.
Yeah, it's all like, you know, they're like, where are you guys getting your idea of time travel? And Rhodey starts like listing off all these movies with time travel in it. What did Scott said? Die Hard? Oh no, that's not one of them. So, I'm sure a lot of people, especially DC fans out there, are going to complain about the amount of humor in this movie. But you need it.
Yeah,
have to have humor, because you kill Black Widow and Iron Man.
This movie is pretty dark. What shocked me, because Marvel movies don't tend to have a lot of blood. Like, they showed the Clint cut that dude's throat. If you look close enough, you can actually see he actually cut. Yeah. You can see the blood and shit. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
And Clint's another one too, where his story actually is pretty dark. Like. But Hawkeye ended up being one of my favorites as well in this movie. Because, well,
and that's another thing. It's like, if you haven't seen all the other movies and you see this and you see him in Natasha and they mention Budapest, you won't really get anything out of that. But it doesn't destroy your understanding of the movie. You don't need to know what happened in Budapest, because nobody really knows what happened there. But it's a callback to the original Avengers where they talked about Budapest, right?
Yep.
You don't need to have that frame of reference to enjoy or understand this whole movie. You just miss something in that scene, that small moment.
That's the other character I really like. I like them all, but the thing with Black Widow, typically I felt like, I mean, she had some emotion, but in this one, she was all emotion. Like, there's like at least a couple times where you could see she's actually in tears.
Yeah.
And like.
Yeah, at the, you know, in pretty much at the beginning where she's talking about, like, this is her family, her only family she's ever had and stuff.
And she's looking for Clint as well.
And she can't lose it and whatever. And then she, you know, she tells, or Steve's like, we both need to get a life, you know? So Okay, this is going to get a lot of talked about. I mean, we'd be remiss to not mention it, but okay, cool. We have our first openly gay character in the MCU. Joe Russo played this character at this little meeting that Steve was holding. Yeah, I remember the guys like, you know, like, me and my, or I went on a date or whatever, and he cried.
Oh, I thought
whatever.
You were talking about a chick. I wasn't paying attention during
okay,
that
well,
point.
People are going to, even the Russos came out and said, like, you know, people are going to mention that because it's a big thing, I guess, to them. But they're like, that's not the point of the scene. That's not where the scene starts, you know? That's not what the scene's about. It's just about people trying to move on, you know? And it's like, it's sad because it's like, there's a lot of call for more representation and everything. So when you get it, people are like, oh my God, it's amazing. It's the best thing ever. Cause there's so little of it, but it shouldn't be a thing. Like people are gay. People are black. People are Asian. People
just
are trans.
Have them in there, but you
it's
don't need
fine.
Be, you
know,
don't need to be showboating. Hey, look, we got a gay guy.
Which
over
they
here.
Didn't obviously. Cause you missed it. Right. They didn't showboat it, which is fine. It's like, it doesn't need, it's not something that needs to be cheered. It's just, it's good. We're happy, but they're just people. We're like, I know there's stigmas out there, and there's people that think less of other people for being gay or whatever they are. Put your fucking hand down. Like, you don't really think less of people who are gay, you know? Like, there are people who do, but the majority don't. I mean, we've come a long way, so it's like, it's sad that we have to be happy to see that, because it's life. Those people exist, and they should be represented.
Oh, yeah.
But
I kind of got the lesbian vibe from fucking Captain Marvel with that haircut.
Oh, well. Yeah. Rocket. It'll be a while before I get you back. Well, you have to get another haircut.
I love
I
Rocket.
Get emails from a raccoon now, so nothing's that crazy. She also had Black Widow had one of the most subtle jokes that I think a lot of people missed. When Scott was like, "Oh, do you guys understand quantum mechanics?" And she said, "Only a little for conversation," which is a joke. Obviously, she knows nothing about it, you know. So like, even Scott doesn't have a great understanding of quantum mechanics.
No, I think he was just kind of regurgitating what Hank Pym had told him in the past.
Yeah.
But you know what though? It was also weird seeing a young Michael Douglas. Like, I was like.
Yeah, they used that same technology from Captain Marvel.
I was just wondering, sitting there thinking, though, I was like, I wonder if that's what Michael Douglas looked like when he was like that age. Like,
maybe.
But
he probably didn't have his hair like that, though.
But
I got major Wall Street vibes from that.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
The only thing missing was Charlie Sheen doing lines of coke.
I only had to see that movie because of a class we were doing investments or something. I had to
watch it in business finance.
Yeah, so I had to actually pay to fucking rent that movie to watch it because, you know, I went to school online. So. But but yeah, it was great seeing. We got so many people back in this movie, like it's ridiculous.
Now I have a gripe. I didn't get my goddamn Gamora back.
Well, you got a Gamora back.
I didn't get the
You got
Gamora
Zoe Saldana back. We're not going to get Gamora back. It's impossible.
It
you can't
not,
get that Gamora back.
Oh, really?
Back.
They're doing a Black Widow spinoff and she's dead, but we can't get the other Gamora back
from
Guardians
we're stuck,
3.
We're stuck with 2014 Gamora.
I don't want that Gamora.
And the Black Widow movie is not going to take place in the future. It's probably going to take place in like the 70s or 80s.
Look here, stupid. The movie, that'll be present day. But how are they going to do it present day when Black Widow's...
Black Widow's not going to take place in present day. It's going to take
place... She's a fucking pancake.
Hey, Captain Marvel came out this year. It takes place in the 90s. The Black Widow movie's going to take place in like the 70s or 80s. Probably 80s. Because she's too young to be...
How is she's about my age. So how the hell would it be in the 70s?
It'll be like the 80s or 90s.
She'd be like 5 in the 80s.
Whatever. It'd be like the 80s or 90s.
But, Yeah, she. I just. Yeah, I won't lie though. When she made the ultimate sacrifice, I did cry a little.
I didn't cry at that part, to be honest. But.
But what?
I teared up at a lot of parts. Like, even when Scott comes back and Cassie finds him and they start hugging, I teared up at that part.
I also kind of like you call me you know me. I really have loved the Ant-Man. Movies, even though I will admit, though, before I saw the first one, I was talking a lot of shit.
Well, a lot of people were. But, again, it's like Guardians of the Galaxy. This is a movie that should have never succeeded and was good, because Guardians of the Galaxy are fucking nobodies in comics.
But I absolutely was jumping up and down, getting goosebumps when Evangeline Lilly came back.
Yeah, it was good.
And, like...
I mean, all of them, like, you know, like, you talk about, like, the A-Force thing. Like, all the women in Marvel have been extraordinary. Like, they're not... people can argue Captain Marvel's overpowered. They're not overpowered.
Oh,
like,
really? She's not overpowered. When she
Thor would have done... Thor could have flown through that ship, too, if he wasn't being fired at.
He's a god. He's supposed to be overpowered. She is not supposed to be overpowered where she comes flying through a ship, and then she goes flying through the ship again and destroys it, and then, not to mention, she's been manhandling Thanos.
You already said earlier Thanos manhandled her, so which is it?
She was manhandling him until he took the Power Stone out of the gauntlet and used her as a baseball.
Yeah, and fucking punched her to fucking Timbuktu.
Pretty much.
Like, we didn't see any of her after that until the funeral. Like, she hid after that. She was embarrassed. So.
I don't hate Captain Marvel. I don't know, like, it was weird, too, in a sense, for me. She kind of felt out of place with all these other characters, I thought, like.
I thought she fit in fine, you know, especially
not,
with
she's not really an Avenger, though, like, you know what I mean? Like, when people think of Avengers, they don't think of Captain Marvel. They think of Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk, who... anyone that knows me personally knows how much I have an unbridled hatred for Mark Ruffalo. But that said, this Hulk, by far the best Hulk I thought we'd gotten.
Yeah.
Like, people were bitching in the first movie, or Infinity War, Hulk. We didn't get enough Hulk. Oh, you get plenty of Hulk in this.
You get all Hulk. Well, you get all Banner in Hulk body.
But the cool part is, I thought long and hard about this. A lot of people were like, we wanted Hulk smash. What they did here was give you an entirely new look at the Hulk, where he's smart and not just a fucking dumb brute.
Yeah.
And then, like,
his pretending to smash in New York.
But the other thing I liked is, like, you want to talk about his strength, like, look what he did with the gauntlet. He was the only one, maybe next to Thanos, that was able to put the gauntlet on.
Yeah, he's still alive. Someone else put it on and is dead.
Pretty much. And like Banner said, or Hulk or Banner, this is what I was made for. Because it was made out of gamma radiation.
Yeah, it was mostly gamma radiation. Thor wanted to do it, but I think Thor probably would have died.
Thor wanted to die at that. Let's be honest here. I think he was looking for a way out for half that movie, and then I think he found his purpose when he was watching Thanos sitting there. He's like, oh, hell no. Let's like, he even says it. He goes, let's kill him proper this time.
Yeah.
Like, he found his motivation again. I don't know, like, this whole movie, I still get goosebumps thinking about this movie.
It's a three-hour movie that doesn't feel like it's a three-hour movie.
It doesn't. Like,
except when you really have to pee.
Yeah.
Then it's like...
You go through 2 large sodas and, like, your bladder's full, but I was not
like the first watch-through, there's no good opportunity to go pee. If you're seeing it a second time, you'll find moments where, like, I know exactly what happens now, I'm going to go pee, right? But, like, because you don't want to pee during the last scenes and stuff. Like, you don't want to miss any of that.
No.
But, you know, like, it's like.
One thing I like, too, I've never seen Easter eggs before. I spotted my first Easter egg in this movie.
Did you?
Yes. Remember in Infinity War where they're talking about all the various types of ice cream, and then, like, Banner's like, I personally like the Hulkbuster.
Oh, yeah.
He's sitting there eating a whole fucking.
The Ben and Jerry's, yeah.
The Hulkbuster. I was like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. There's so many little things. Like, you could probably find things in almost every scene that's, like, callbacks, like, to Marvel movies. And then, obviously, we got callbacks to a lot of other movies.
They only had a picture of the scientist dude from Thor.
Selvig?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, we got, like, references to, like, obviously, Die Hard, Back to the Future, The Big Lebowski. you look like melted ice cream.
Oh, Thor, yeah, and Thor's like 300 pounds and
has. Yeah, we got Korg and Meek back.
Sort of.
But we don't need a lot of them. You know, it's not their movie again. Like,
I love their scene playing Fortnite though, with New Player 69 and.
Oh yeah.
Thor gets on the fucking mic and is talking hella shit.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty accurate representation of online gaming. So.
But this movie. It's just a lot to love about it. There's really nothing to not love about this movie.
I think people who want to can find things to poke at it, but it's like none of it really matters, you know?
It doesn't
because of the scale of it, because of what it accomplished, because of what it is, you know? And it's like time travel is always confusing, right? And the only thing that at the end of it, after thinking about it for a long time, that I have a confusion about is Peter Parker. how is he still in high school after 5 years? And how is Ned still at the high school, right?
Yeah.
That, I mean, it could have been a college, but why would he be? He has to finish high school, right? Yeah. And we know Far From Home is like their senior trip or whatever to Europe, right?
Yeah, no, it takes place right after Avengers.
So we don't know what's going to happen there. Maybe he went back in time briefly before the funeral or whatever it was, right? Who knows? Initially, I was very confused about Captain America because we got his ending in this movie as well. He's retiring. He's an old man now because when he went to put all the stones back, he missed his spot and he went back, 60s, 70s, 50s? Well, who knows?
110.
No, the years he went, but who knows what year he went back to. But he went back somewhere.
I think they said 1945.
He went back somewhere and met up with Peggy and they got married or whatever, right?
Yeah. And had little captains.
And my initial thing was like, well, if Captain America is here with Peggy, then he's not there for Avengers 1 or Age of Ultron or anything.
Yeah,
and that changes everything.
No, it doesn't. Remember?
Yeah, because the Captain America of that time is still on ice. So his life is with Peggy and there's another Captain America in that time.
But you got to remember, too, like I said the same thing when Nebula shot herself and the other Nebula still lived. So the rules are different.
Yeah, but we don't understand those rules. That's the problem, right?
We're not talking about the butterfly effect.
We don't know any of this shit. Like, that's the thing. Is like,
I've seen the movies.
We don't know how time travel works in this universe. And that maybe is something you can poke a hole at.
Hey,
but
maybe Gamora's still alive then.
We can only go off what we're told, right? That's all we can... No, Gamora's not still alive.
She could be.
She's not still alive.
She could be.
Oh, my God. No, we know that anybody used to get the Soul Stone is dead permanently.
Really?
We get told that. Like I said, you can only go off what you're informed by the movie.
Listen,
and Red Skull explicitly says it's something that can't be undone.
Oh, really?
Yes. I don't remember exactly what he says, but he's like, it's permanent or whatever.
Black Widow solo movie.
Takes place in the past, jackass.
Prove it.
Okay, Wanda and Vision are getting a TV series. When do you think that takes place? Because Vision's not coming back.
Current day?
No, it probably takes place, like, after...
He could come back because he wasn't part of the Soul Stone.
I don't know how he's going to come back because the Mind Stone was ripped out of his head.
Yeah.
And then they went back in time and got it and removed it from the timeline, which means he would have never been made. But then they returned it to the timeline, which means he would have been made, which means he would have lived to the point where it got ripped out of his head in order for Thanos to snap, in order for us to be 5 years in the future and needing to go back in time to get it. It's confusing.
It's just one big loop.
Yeah, it's a weird loop. We don't know how this loop works, right? But we know that Sam is our new Captain America.
Very happy
Falcon,
about that.
Falcon, yes. I think a lot of people wanted Bucky. I wanted Bucky, but I always knew it was going to be Sam.
I'm good either way. I really liked both characters. Anthony Mackie's fucking been great as Falcon. I loved his interactions in Civil War with Ant-Man. And then you got Bucky, who, I mean, you're good either way on who would be Captain.
Well, Dennis, who's a friend of both of ours, brought up a good point. To me, and pretty much said, well, in this story, Bucky's not the true American hero, right?
He was more of a terrorist.
Yeah, but he is in comics too. Like, he became Captain America, but he was also the same person in comics, right? He wasn't the true American hero in comics, right? But it makes sense for Sam in so many different ways.
Well,
and both of us think that Bucky knew that Captain was going to do that.
Well, yeah. If you...
But the confusing part is, like, he seemed surprised to see the man on the bench.
I don't think.
But I don't know if he was like pretending or whatever. Because
I think he was, because if you remember,
you know,
that's why he told him, "I'm gonna miss you."
Yeah, he's like, "You're taking all the stupid with you."
He wouldn't say, "I'm gonna miss you," if he knew he was just gonna be gone for 2 seconds or five
right.
seconds. I think he knew that Captain wasn't. He was intending.
I think he told
up.
Him his plan, and like that's why he was like, "Sam,
yes.
You know, you go," because he knew he was gonna give Sam the shield. You know, and I just hope we get the Captain America Falcon outfit because it's really cool. It's one of the cool outfits, costumes in comics. It really is.
I liked I think it was a good choice. I like Falcon. I was kind of bummed when he faded away in Infinity War, but I mean, we all knew that we were losing half of him. But this, like I said, this movie is unlike for me anything I've seen. I mean, I see some big scale battles in all kinds of movies, Lord of the Rings, all the previous fucking, even X-Men, but this movie takes it like.
Well, let's put it this way, right? Look at Lord of the Rings. If you want to compare, you look at Lord of the Rings. Talk about the Battle of Helm's Deep. Who do we care about?
Nobody.
Aragorn, Legolas, Gimli, maybe Théoden.
What about the Hobbits?
Well, I mean, in the Battle of Helm's Deep, jackass.
There's two of them there, isn't there?
No, they're not. They're in the battle at Isengard with Treebeard, jackass. We care about like four characters, maybe, right?
Yes.
In this movie, we have Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, Hulk,
Black Widow.
Hawkeye. No, Black Widow's dead at this battle.
Well, I still care.
I'm talking about in the battle.
Oh.
Right, looking in the battle.
I care about
We care about like 30 characters, right? The scale is so different. Like, when you care about that many characters and get that many individual pieces of badass, like, again, if you're comparing to Lord of the Rings, we get little moments of badassery from Legolas, from Gimli, from Aragorn. But that's about it, from Gandalf, right?
Yes.
But what else? Right? We only have to go between like four or five characters. Eowyn, right? When she kills the Witch King. Four, five, six characters. This movie, we're going to Iron Man, to Ant-Man, to Doctor Strange, to Spider-Man, to
Hulk.
Valkyrie, to Scarlet Witch, to Pepper, to just
Valkyrie.
Character to character to character. It's fucking awesome. We don't get a lot of Hulk fighting, maybe is a complaint you can have.
I was okay with that. I mean, if he had...
But we got a lot of, like, if you look at the first Avengers, we got a lot of good Hulk fighting, you know, in Age of Ultron. Fighting off the Ultron bots and shit. Really cool shit. Thor Ragnarok. We got a lot of good Hulk stuff in the past.
Like
this is a new Hulk,
like
right?
When he jumped on Ultron's ship, he goes, oh, you got to be kidding me. He throws Ultron out of the ship. But for me, I understood that, like, again, it seemed to... Like, they did everything they could do with the Hulk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they wanted to do something different. And to me, they made up for it with Scarlet Witch. She's fucking amazing.
She's amazing, yeah.
I absolutely fucking love her. I think Elizabeth Olsen is fucking perfect for the role.
Yeah.
A lot better than the jackass that played Quicksilver.
Let's talk about then as well. I mean...
he's not coming back.
People that aren't coming back, we know Black Widow, Vision.
Don't you say it.
Well, let's talk about Loki. Everybody thought Loki's not really dead. He was faking. He was really killed. By Thanos.
We still don't know that.
He was really killed by Thanos. That is conclusive. But can we get Loki back? Because Loki took the Tesseract.
And left and disappeared.
Yeah. But, I mean, they kind of undid that again by going back further in the past and taking it from that time. I don't know how that works. I don't know.
They have a plan, and I trust it.
Everything was put back to where it should have been, meaning the timeline stayed the same.
I firmly believe we're going to see Loki again.
Yeah, maybe. It's a possibility. We're getting a Loki TV series, too.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But
that can also take place in the past.
Don't you say it. Look, everyone's coming back. We'll get Gamora back.
We'll get Gamora back. We're not going to get the Gamora
Infinity
Gamora. War.
Look, you know how happy I was to finally see her and Peter finally get their...
I was happy to see her kick him in the balls.
Why were you happy to see... Like, they're cute
because
together.
I don't care.
They're cute together.
I don't care.
I like them together.
She had a choice between him and a tree, remember?
Who was a tree? Groot?
Yeah.
Damn.
Rocket was really good in this movie as well. And surprisingly, Rhodey was pretty good. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, he's kind of a minor-ish character to a lot of people, I think. Like, War Machine, like, he's a great character. People love War Machine, but, like, in the movies, he's never really done much. Except for get, you know, hit by Vision's beam and become disabled.
So. Oh, yeah.
So,
but yeah.
Okay, hold on. I have a gripe here, right? Can we just point out that this movie is not kind to Tony Stark at the beginning? Because when he comes back, he's really mad at Steve Rogers. He's really mad.
He also looked really ill, like he looked skinny as shit.
But this happened in Infinity War too, where he's blaming Captain America for stuff.
Well, there's still a little fallout from Civil War.
At the end of Civil War, Steve sent him a letter saying, if you ever need me, I'm around. And he still refused to call him. And in this movie, he has the nerve to say, where the fuck were you? Oh, we needed you. But where were you?
Did they not patch it up, though, by the end of this movie? Did he not?
Yeah, because Tony says, I don't like holding grudges or whatever, or like resentment hurts or whatever.
Well, there goes your answer to why there was still beef. He was
No,
holding.
There's not beef. Because
there was
because
beef.
He, Steve, couldn't be there because Tony forced the Sokovia Accords, meaning that Steve was an outlaw, meaning that if he showed up to help, he'd be arrested. Like, That's why at the beginning Hawkeye has an ankle monitor. Everybody's like, what's with that? Because it's Civil War. He's on house arrest.
Well, people obviously miss fucking Ant-Man and Wasp because Scott had the same thing.
Exactly.
On his ankle.
But if you want Captain America to show up, the most wanted person in America because of the Sokovia Accords, you're a piece of shit, Tony Stark. This is why I don't like you in comics, because you've always been a shit, fucking boring ass character with a bad attitude.
Again,
and you know what?
You can say what you will.
Robert Downey Jr. gets a lot of credit, and he should, because he's amazing. He makes me enjoy Iron Man, right? And
yes.
I never thought I would ever enjoy Iron Man reading comics as a kid. I was like, he's boring. He's the most boring member of the Avengers. All he does is get drunk and cheat on his girlfriends and blame everybody else for his problems.
He's the second best actor to play a Marvel character. I put him only behind Hugh Jackman, who was fantastic as Wolverine. But that's here nor there.
A lot of people would tell you Christopher Reeves was the best person to ever play a comic book character.
I could make a really fucked up joke, but I'm not going to.
No, I mean,
Christopher Reeves was all right. I mean, he's like
the Tony Stark or Robert Downey Jr. is the only actor to play a character where the character in the comics later was changed to resemble the actor.
Yeah. It says a lot about the actor's ability to actually have influence through his art
to
do that.
He embodied the Tony Stark from the comics and improved him. And that's where he deserves all the credit. Because
I found that he totally redeemed himself by the end of this movie. He, for all his faults, for all his things that he did throughout the whole entire 10 years of from phase 1 to now.
Yeah.
For what he did, the board was white clean for me.
And we knew this was going to happen before Infinity War. We knew either him or Steve or both would sacrifice themselves to change what happened.
Well, I think it's like you said, it's foreshadowed even all the way back in the first Avengers movie that it was.
I don't think they were like, okay, in 7 years, we're going to make a movie. Like, they didn't have that planned.
No,
but,
I mean,
but
like, story wise, like, Tony was having those visions
Yeah.
Like, he knew something was going to happen.
Right, well, he thought Steve was going to die from the Age of Ultron vision. He saw the shield or whatever in the pile of bodies and Steve dead.
I haven't watched that in a while, so I have to get back to you on that. But
all right, which, again, you don't have to see Age of Ultron to understand what's going on in this movie. But you will also not really understand Hawkeye's family.
True.
But you don't really, it doesn't ruin the movie not knowing. Like you're just kind of like, oh, he has a family and now they're dead.
I need to go back and watch that too, actually. But I'm just happy. Like this,
yeah.
I rarely get excited for movies. I think the next one I'm really excited for. You think it looks like ass as Godzilla?
Oh, well, I just don't care about monster movies.
It's not a monster. He's a giant lizard.
Okay, so you're telling me that the title of the movie that says God of the Monsters is misrepresenting him?
That's what Godzilla stands for?
No, the title of the movie is Godzilla, God of Monsters.
No, it's King of the Monsters.
Okay, so it's still Monsters.
Yes.
Okay. I don't care about monster movies, is my point.
But, you know, like, this movie, I don't even think, honestly, if you look at the scope of things, I don't even think Star Wars will be as good as this. I don't think Episode 9 can hit this bar.
I think there's an objective and a subjective point to that. Like, a lot of people prefer Star Wars, and a lot of people are going to not prefer Star Wars, and you're going to have this weird argument about shit that I don't care about. But I think that I'm just going to look at it from a better point of view, that it's a huge year for
movies.
I mean, this year we might see the two biggest movies of all time with this and Rise of Skywalker. The issue with Star Wars is that it might be jaded. I still think people are going to pay a lot of money and see it many, many times because Star Wars fans love to complain and be the center of attention and have hot takes and have people look at them and be like, oh, I think this and this and this. But they still go see the movies. The only movie people didn't really see was Solo.
I didn't think Solo was that great, but I think Star Wars will be fine on its own. I'm going to go into it objectively and not think, oh, yeah.
It'll still make $1 billion in its first week.
Not weekend, though.
Not weekend, maybe, but its first week, it'll still make $1 billion
worldwide.
There's
no arguing that Star Wars and this are going to be the two biggest movies of probably all time as far as box office goes.
Right.
I don't see...
I mean, this movie, may not. This it might be the only movie. If you're looking at Star Wars movies right now, Force Awakens is highest grossing. I think this movie will either beat it or be behind it. It'll do better than Last Jedi, but it will. I don't know if it'll be Force Awakens for box office. Because you got to look at it. Force Awakens was the first Star Wars movie in 10 years.
How much? What's the box office for?
Force Awakens? Yeah. It's like two point some billion.
Yeah, I don't. It'll be right behind it. I mean, hitting that mark is going to be extremely difficult. I mean, it could. I'm not saying it can't, but the movies, like I said, to those who haven't seen it, go out, see it. It's a fucking amazing movie. I might have a few minuscule points where, like for instance, how does Siri get her armor and shit like that?
Shuri. Yeah, Siri is what's on your phone.
Shuri. Like how she got her armor and guns after reappearing again.
Well, I mean, she reappeared in Wakanda.
We don't know that.
Because they came out in their factions of where they were. With the space people with Doctor Strange, with Spider-Man and the Guardians, they all showed up together. The people from Wakanda showed up together.
Spider-Man wasn't with Guardians.
Yeah, they panned it, and then he swung in from the back.
That's right.
They all come from where they died. So Shuri was already at Wakanda. She just goes and grabs her shit real quick.
So, and the Guardians and Spider-Man were on, and Doctor Strange were on Titan, and...
Yeah. They all came there from where they were.
Oh, I didn't know that. See,
that's why even with Wakanda, you see... first Black Panther walk out, and then you see Sam fly in later from there with the army because he was in Wakanda. So that's how it kind of works. And and Scarlet Witch flew out of there as well.
So that being clarified, I really had no gripes with this movie. Yeah, I've had my issues with Captain Marvel, let's be honest, but she's really not that bad.
She's fine in this movie.
She was, and like, if you're not,
what she does in this movie to me is better than everything she does in Captain Marvel. I didn't hate Captain Marvel. I didn't dislike Captain Marvel. I thought it was a good movie, not great, middle of the road, maybe low tier for Marvel films, but it's still good. I didn't hate anything about it, but. What we get in this movie is better than anything we got in that movie.
My only gripe with Captain Marvel, where the fuck was her helmet? Like, I wanted that helmet. I thought the helmet.
And here's the thing. You can say the same thing about Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange, a lot of people agree it was a great movie. But what we got of Doctor Strange in Infinity War was better than anything we got in his movie of him. Just him.
I even liked the bald chick that...
The ancient one.
Yeah, the ancient
Tilda
one.
Tilda Swinton.
I actually liked her a lot more in the scenes that she's in this.
It's very consistent. Like, the acting was very consistent. Like, because it was, 3 years between the movies?
Yes.
It might have been hard for her to go back to that and be that same character. But she did it really well. The only other thing I know of Tilda Swinton was, in Constantine in, 2005, where she played Gabriel, right?
Yeah. I forgot about that. I like that movie, by the way. But this movie's got it all, and I highly recommend it. It's a fucking amazing movie. I don't see Marvel topping this at all. It doesn't matter what they do. The only thing I think that can top this is when they eventually either incorporate or even solo movie. It depends. It'll be either X-Men or Fantastic Four. Could possibly be as good as this, but...
With this team, this studio behind it, I think so. Because we're never going to get anything close to this from Fox had X-Men for so many years and they didn't do anything close to this.
Let's not mention that a certain director has officially tainted everything he did with the franchise. It really needs a reboot.
If you compare a movie with a big scale battle from X-Men to this movie, you're going to only compare The Last Stand to it.
I'd rather not.
Right? And look at the scale difference, right?
I mean, the one thing about X-Men Last Stand for me was I'm the juggernaut, bitch. But I mean...
But in this movie, we had... you took everything from me. I don't even know who you are. You will. And then Scarlet Witch proceeds to destroy Thanos piece by piece.
Oh, that's right. And I loved her red eyes.
Yeah.
And then she's like...
Yeah, she's all...
dance, puppet, dance.
Yeah, but she fucked him up. That was great.
I just wish we'd gotten a little bit more of her in the movie, but I loved the interaction between her and Hawkeye at the funeral, too.
Didn't get a lot of Spider-Man either, but Tom Holland, Jesus Christ, he's amazing.
He made me almost cry.
Yeah, he throws punches with the best of them.
Like when he was like, Mr. Stark.
Because, I kept saying Mr. Stark, right? And then he says Tony, you know? Like, it makes it more personal almost at that point. And but it's just like, jeez.
Like when they're hugging.
Jeez, fam.
Like when Spider-Man first returns and then he sees Iron Man, he gives him a hug. And he's all, oh, this feels nice.
Oh, yeah. hey, but Ratatouille to the rescue, you know them way there. This wouldn't have been possible without Ratatouille.
Auto right? kill.
Oh, it? Yeah. Instant kill.
Instant kill.
Activate instant kill mode. But what I'm saying is, right, none of this is possible without the rat releasing Scott Lang from the quantum realm.
Oh, that is true, though.
Hey, so Ratatouille to the rescue.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be a meme more than anything, and people might
I Love You 3000 already.
Yeah, I Love You 3000. Yeah.
That part, like, the end when Tony's hologram is like kind of talking to his daughter hit me at home too, because like
this is like stuff like, you know, as young people who go see this movie, like, again, there's an argument for, if you haven't seen a lot of the other movies, you won't get as much out of this as people who have. But also, if you don't have a wife or a child or anything, you're not going to get as emotional as those people. Because when I see, like, Tony talking to Pepper or Steve dancing at the end with Peggy, like, it makes me think of my girlfriend a lot, you know? And, like, it makes me emotional because it's, like, I don't know, I'm a weird romantic little person, right? So, you know, and it's, like, people who have children, like, are going to relate to Tony and Morgan and, like, and it's going to make them way more emotional than, like, people who don't have children and they're like, ah, fuck, yeah, little shits.
I'm wondering what they're going to do with if Tony's daughter will end up being, like, the new Iron Man down the road if they decide to go that route.
Or Pepper. I mean, do you think Gwyneth Paltrow is going to lead an Iron Man movie?
I think she could, or if they decide to do an A-Force team movie,
they'd have to do Pepper and someone else. You'd have to have someone mechanically engineer-minded to replace Tony.
Scarlet Witch.
Or Iron, or Spider-Man.
Spider-Man's going back to Sony. We've gone through this over time.
Shut up. Spider-Man's going back to Sony, you're bullshit.
Sony
makes good money off what Marvel does with Spider-Man, and I'm pretty sure they're going to be happy to let them keep him, because they're already starting a universe without it. Yeah, whatever, use him, whatever you want to say. Semantics, okay?
It's not, because... Look, I can see this deal continuing going on between Sony and Marvel. That said, no, Marvel, Sony's taking Spider-Man back.
I think Sony will be happy to let Marvel continue to use Spider-Man because they make good money off of it, and because they're already establishing a universe without Spider-Man, so they might not even want him. They might not, like, how do you introduce Spider-Man to a world already with Venom in it now, after the fact? It's hard.
It's already alluded to, though, if you paid attention in that movie.
Oh, I paid attention to that movie. It's not alluded to at all.
That something happened between Tony, or not Tony,
Eddie and Peter?
Yes.
There's no allusion to that.
It's alluded, not illusion.
Illusion. A-L-L-U-S-I-O-N. Illusion. Not illusion. Illusion. noun version of alluded.
I'm just saying, I think Marvel's done a great job with what Sony's let them do with Spider-Man.
Yeah, better than what Sony did with Spider-Man.
I would, I honestly, it's maybe a bit off topic, but I could also see Marvel maybe working with Sony on improving, like, fucking Venom and Carnage for the movies. It could be maybe they'll end up doing, you know, coming together and doing joint Spider-Man shit. Could happen. But, by far, yeah, Tom Holland is by far not even close. No one's even ever going to come close. Tom Holland has and always will be our Spider-Man and Peter Parker. He's the best of both worlds. Like, Tobey Maguire was a good Peter Parker, but a shitty Spider-Man. Andrew Garfield was a good Spider-Man, but a shitty Peter Parker. Tom Holland's been the best of both worlds. He's, like I said, in this movie, he invoked more emotion out of me than the previous incarnations of any Spider-Man.
The biggest difference to me is... you look at Spider-Man 1, Spider-Man 2, sure, Spider-Man 3. They all have good moments. There's good things about them.
I'll concede the first two, but there was nothing about the third Spider-Man movie.
Whatever. And then even Amazing Spider-Man and Amazing Spider-Man 2, there's cool things. There's good moments. Yeah. Like the Gwen Stacy death scene is like...
heartbreaking.
Perfect from comics. It's a good moment. But that's all you can say. The movies themselves are not amazing movies. Everything about Tom Holland's Spider-Man is good.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing where you're like, oh, that's not good. There's nothing about Homecoming where you're like, like, except for maybe, like, people didn't like Flash Thompson or whatever, right? People didn't like the Penis Parker shit. Some people didn't like that, but whatever. That has nothing to do with the Spider-Man, right?
No.
And everything in Infinity War with him is amazing. Everything in this movie with him, the small part we get, is a big impact, you know?
I noticed that, like, I think we talked on it a little earlier, but, like, most of the people that had part, like, were in Infinity War, their cut screen time was cut tremendously in this.
Well, yeah, but because they want to focus on your Avengers, your original Avengers.
Which I thought was great. Like I look at Infinity War and Endgame kind of like The Matrix. It's just, like, yes, it's two parts, but technically it's one film. So
it's one story, but I think even they separated well that they're not reliant on each other necessarily.
But didn't they film back to back though, right?
They filmed them together.
That's what I mean. So to me, that's one film.
But you have to. If they're coming out a year apart, like, you're not going to be like, okay, we just finished this movie. Let's come back in 6 months and refilm for another 12 months.
Well, it's kind of like The Matrix where they actually filmed all three back to back to back and then cut it in half, and it's still technically one film. That's how I feel about these two movies, and, like, this, to me, is going to be the bar for any superhero movies. Like, these two movies set the bar so fucking high, I don't know if it'll ever be beat.
The only way to really do anything is just... most people are going to have, like, their own opinions, right? Or, like, they're going to have their favorites, right? Like... Awesome. I know Spider-Man Homecoming is not the best Marvel film, but it's still one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be great. Like, I have no question
about
that.
The one that already came out, right?
Oh, Far From Home?
No, Homecoming.
Oh, Homecoming?
Right.
No, like, it was great.
Like, if you look at it objectively, it's like, right now, like, Endgame, Infinity War, Black Panther, Thor, Ragnarok.
The top two, like, it's tied for first.
Whatever you want to say. Like, it's hard to do it. Like you almost have to do like an untouchable, amazing, great, good, fair kind of score for it. Like, and put movies where they go in those categories, because it's hard to do 1-to-1 comparisons of these movies. But, like, for me, my top five is, like, you know, obviously the Avengers movies, and then Black Panther, Thor Ragnarok, Winter Soldier, Spider-Man Homecoming. But Spider-Man Homecoming is still, like, my favorite out of most of those. Except, like, it's not better than Endgame, but it's still, like, you know, most days in the future after Endgame comes out, I'd still probably rather watch Homecoming just because it's not as long.
I'd rather watch Days of the Future Past than Homecoming.
Ugh, no, you wouldn't. Jesus Christ. Anything else? Do you have anything else to say about this movie?
I just thought it was fucking great. I rarely go
The one thing in this movie, sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, no worries.
Is that could have gone very wrong, because I hate shit like this in movies. Is when the 2014 Nebula comes back to the future and, like, infiltrates, right? Which is obviously very important, but, like,
in
movies where you have people there that are, like, not the true version of themselves, and it confuses everybody and shit, it bugs me. I'm just like, you guys are fucking idiots. Like,
well, it was just predictable. I felt like that part wasn't really necessary, but I get why.
Well, it was necessary to get Thanos there.
It was.
Because she had to open the portal. Quantum portal shit or whatever.
Oh, that's right. Why couldn't he just fly to Earth?
Okay, the other thing... Oh, no, they rebuilt it, huh? They rebuilt a mini version of it at the end to send Steve.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, well, the one in the van was destroyed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. But, yeah, this movie had everyone in it, everything in it. It was heartbreaking, hilarious. It destroys your emotions.
It does. It's one of those feeler movies where, like, I don't care if you're a sociopath or not. You see this movie, you're going to fucking have emotions of some sort.
Yeah, and I know I've said this already, but if you haven't seen the movie, stop listening. But while you're here, before you go see it, please don't drink anything during this movie or bring a catheter, because if Both times I was like, I'm not going to get anything, but they had the Avengers cups and I wanted them. So then I got drinks and I had to pee both times and it was annoying.
And also don't bring your 3-year olds.
Yeah. Don't bring anybody under the age of 6 who's going to ask questions and annoy me during the movie.
And don't bring your mother.
All you people sitting there fucking cheering unnecessarily at moments. It throws everybody out of the movie. This movie is not for you only. It's not about you. It's not about you being the biggest fan. Nobody gives a shit. We're all there to see the fucking movie.
That's how I felt about like the Stan Lee cameo. Look, I get it. It's his last, but I don't need you clapping through it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because a lot of people are going to miss what he said.
Exactly.
I mean, he said, make peace, not war. But, you know, if you, in case you missed it, because everybody saw his face and started clapping, I'm sure other people are sitting there whispering, who's the woman with him? Who gives a fuck? It's not about her. Jesus Christ.
Oh, Lordy.
Like, I understand, like, on premiere nights and stuff, people are going to be noisy and loud and whatever. But, like, if you actually want to watch the movie, then shut up. Like, it's very exciting. And then when you start clapping, other people think, oh, it's okay because everybody else is doing it. It's not okay. If everybody else was fucking snorting lines of coke, are you going to start doing that too? Probably, because you have no fucking self-power. No, I'm just kidding. But self-control, whatever the word is. Anyway, anything else? Anything else?
There's really not much else to discuss. This movie is perfect the way it is.
Yeah, worth seeing 7 or 8 times.
I do plan on seeing it again, but I'm going to wait at least a couple weeks before, so it dies the fuck down. I was just told at Target today that showings are already still, like, for, there's a lot
they're
of
theaters. Sell out.
No, yeah. There's a lot of theaters right outright are sold out right now
mm-hmm.
until tomorrow. So to those that are on the fence and want to go see it, I say either, like, your best shot if you don't have to work or if you're off is to go early in the morning on a weekday.
Yeah.
That way you don't have to deal with little
rugrats. Wait until Detective Pikachu comes out. Maybe some people are going to go see that instead, and then you can go see Avengers. No, just kidding. Don't wait. Go see the movie as soon as you can. Just do it.
But I wish you the best.
And if you've already seen it, do it again. Go see it again. Who fucking cares? Go to the drive-ins and see it.
Ooh.
If you're in Sacramento, go to the drive-ins and see it. So, yeah, okay. And they're renovating them right now. If you guys don't know, if you live in the Sacramento area and you like the drive-ins and you haven't been in a while, they're replacing all the dirt with cement and stuff. They're going to keep the hills or whatever, but they're going to replace it all with pavement because, you know, dirt is gross and fucks up your car. Oh, and also, if you go to the drive-ins and you're annoyed at the fact that, like, you have to keep your car running to use the radio so you don't kill your battery, bring a boombox or a stereo or something instead. It's a better idea.
I didn't think about that.
Or bring your girlfriend, turn the radio off, and just have sex and smoke weed like everybody else fucking does at the drive-ins. I've never done either of those things at the drive-ins, but, you know, whatever. I've been to the drive-ins one time. One time in my whole life I've been to the drive-ins. It was the second date I ever had with my girlfriend, and I was so scared to even kiss her. All right.
Is that when you saw Mile 33 or whatever?
Yeah, it was a terrible Mark Wahlberg movie and the stupid puppet Happy Time Murder movie. Like, we watched that movie and I just talked shit the whole time, you know, endeared her to me because I'm hilarious or whatever. And then we just talked, got to know each other better during the stupid Mark Wahlberg movie, which was fucking terrible. It was boring. So we just talked the whole time and, you know, had our first kiss. Eventually. Yeah, it was very unromantic because I'm really awkward and lame and I'm just like, you know, like, I'm scared to kiss you, but I want to kiss you because, you know, you're beautiful and stuff, but, like, I don't want to, like, kiss you if you don't want me to kiss you. And she's like, oh, I want you to kiss me. And I was just so scared. I was just, like, sitting there looking at her, like, waiting. it was still whatever, you know, whatever.
That's not awkward. That's happened to the best of us.
Okay, well, I don't know that. I only know my experience, so. But thank you guys for joining us. Thank you, Daniel, for coming, despite the fact that you needed a coffee, an energy drink, a Coke, and weird fucking bitey things. You know, appreciate you being here. Unfortunately, Scott had to work today. I tried to get him to come through as well, but he had to work, and he's been really busy as well, trying to get everything together. And so, you know, we miss you, Scott. We wish you all the best.
Yes, sir.
You know, obviously I'll still be talking to you, but you know, the Nerdy Boy Army out there, all you people who listen, you know, send him your well wishes as well. Let him know that you miss him, because, you know, he has him and, you know, even my friend Matt, who came, he came to Infinity War with us last year, and me and Scott had this massive argument after the movie. And I told Matt, Scott wasn't able to go, and he said, oh, I'm going to miss the argument afterward. So, you know, if you guys, you know, come here sometimes to hear us yell at each other. So, you know, hopefully he'll be back soon when he can. Anyway, that's all we have for you. Thanks for joining me again, Daniel. And thanks, everyone, for listening. That's all we have. Don't flip me off, fucker. That's everything we have, you guys. I'm Nerdy Boy Christian. This is Daniel.
Have a good day.
Yeah, and as always, one message for you guys, and that's stay nerdy, boys.